Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Red. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Red.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast, Joe, crossover edition. Wow! We are in the process of setting up a live watch of G.I. Joe, the live-action movie, with all of our friends on Patreon. So we're not going to record a normal episode. We're going to record the most abnormal episode possible. And how better to do that than bringing on the stars, the legends of the AE Double Back podcast.
Never heard of
so,
it.
So, first off, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis. Also, Robert Clark Chan stars is one of the main stars. He tells me he's the third banana on the AE Double Back podcast.
Hold on. Are we no longer podcasters? Are we called superstars now?
When you do a wrestling show, you're called superstars. That is correct.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, we are joined by Teresa Gumprecht. It's an audio medium, but go ahead, wave.
Because
that's fine.
We have video now, I get confused.
That makes sense.
No, here's the deal. You're right. I'm wrong. We also have TV's Calder Holbrook with us again today. You may remember him from the Viper is Coming episode of season one, Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
He's been on
a real standout in the genre of audio storytelling.
That's right. No, Calder, it's been 10 years since we've seen you. Have you been up to anything?
He's been on recently. We've done episodes with the AE Double Back. I'm going to call
it
talent rather than superstars. Multiple times because...
Doesn't ring a bell.
They have a more open schedule than Gina does.
Well, thank you for jumping in because I didn't want to try to summarize 10 years, especially this 10 years.
All of us.
I saw Calder and Cora Cora. That movie.
What cork? What's that?
This new movie on Netflix. It's got that one comedian in it.
Oh,
she's
shoot,
so funny.
I did do that. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to say I saw Calder.
I meant to text you. I forgot.
I thought you were going to say I saw Calder in court. And I thought there was some sort of big lawsuit happening.
I thought you were talking about the revolving sushi place. And I was like, no, it's just called Kura, not Cora Cora. But what else?
Bora Bora. Bora Bora.
Scora the gentle shark.
You speak Italian?
We know you love the singing on this show, so I'm happy to say we got that out of the way early.
Oh, you wish.
So there's a great reason we had the AE Double Back show on. Look, this is my idea.
Not a great reason.
It's a great reason.
It's a reason.
I have been wanting. Okay, here's the deal. There is a TV show, not a cartoon, but sort of a cartoon. It's called Mr. Ed from the 1950s.
Never
and I watched it all the time on Nick at Night. I am
Me
a
too.
Big fan of this show.
Why would you?
Because it's delightful.
So cute.
Even if you mean he's adorable.
The cultural desert of the 90s.
Oh,
this was
my
an
God.
Unnecessary
I
watch.
I cannot believe you're even saying that.
Are
First
you
of all,
outrage?
Nick at Night had bangers. We had...
This was not one of
Mr.
them.
Mr. Ed. Mm. We had Get Smart. We had Bewitched.
Putting those in the same category.
Eat shit. It's great.
No. When Calder posted in the chat, Mr. Ed is not funny, I thought it was universally
what
agreed.
What the hell?
This is not a funny show.
Well, you guys, this
God.
Is going to be a very rare Ray and Teresa versus Chan and Calder episode of Knowing Is Half. Very rare
Let
Knowing
me tell
Is Half
you,
the podcast.
I liked it so much that when Nick at Night had the advertisements for like products you could buy, my parents were tempted with the Get Smart shoe phone.
Oh, yeah,
Get Smart is a totally different beast.
Let me tell you what I did get. I did get the Mr. Ed feed bag. Nick at Night, Mr. Ed feed bag. And it's got his face on it, and it's got the star. It says Nick at Night. It's so great. It's just like a cool bag.
He is hilarious. A great performer. That horse could go. This is so here's the deal. Mr. Ed is a TV show about a talking horse and the family. He only talks to Wilbur, the master of the house, not Thénardier.
All right.
And there's a lot of yes.
Mr. Ed was not in this episode very much. Thought he would be in a lot more.
No.
Right.
A lot more hijinks in the barn or something along those lines. Is that typical for a Mr. Ed show?
Not necessarily.
Okay, sometimes
it goes back and forth.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, they knew they had a banger plot here. And that's why y'all are on the show, because this is an episode I, for years now, have been wanting to go back and revisit, because I remember it so fondly from when I was a kid. And it also, like, helped stoke my early interest in professional wrestling, thus the AEW crew. This is an episode called The Wrestler. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I loved this episode of television. This is one of my favorite things we've watched on this show, and I'm so excited all four of us agree. Good night, everybody.
No, this was unwatchable television.
Oh my God. I am dying on the inside.
Somebody has the courage.
Go ahead and yell at him.
Like it is.
All right. So should we start with what happens?
Well, no, let's start right here and just
start by yelling at each other.
We're going to start by yelling at each other. So Teresa, me and you, we watched this show on Nick at Night.
Yes.
Robert Clark Chan, Calder Holbrook. What is your relationship with the Mr. Ed show going into today?
Here's my relationship to the Mr. Ed show going into today. This is not.
Is that your dong?
I understand that this is intended to go out as a podcast. Only the subscribers to our Patreon will get the visual version of this. The video.
Good to see his dog.
Yes, I am. I have pulled down my pants and I'm showing my penis to the camera. That is what I. That is
odd choice, but here we are.
Impressive.
Calder, please bring some sanity here. That's right.
I was insane for Nick at Night when I was a kid, but I don't remember this being one of the things I watched a lot of. I may have seen it once or twice for sure.
You realize in the 90s they had color television. You could watch entire programs that were not black and white.
Why all is know, like something being black and white a bad thing?
Yeah.
There is
it's an interesting difference.
It's interesting.
I am hard pressed to think of a show in black and white that I find interesting.
Bewitched?
The Twilight
I'll
Zone.
I'll start. Miss Ed.
I'll give you Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, pretty good show.
Okay, any
comedy. Let's say comedy.
The Dick Van Dyke Show is a legendary show in comedy.
You didn't like the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Actually, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen an episode. So
oh
I can't
my God. Answer. Okay, then that's explains it. Because you not liking it, especially as someone who enjoys comedy, it is seminal. It's almost impossible not to like
got it.
It.
What, it will watching Dick Van Dyke make this less grotesquely?
No, it's gonna widen the gulf.
I Love Lucy, okay. Black gonna, and White. Yeah.
I Love Lucy, kind of a famous show.
I know of. I respect it immensely. I have not ever watched an episode of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of what? I Love Lucy.
I'm not gonna be a dick about I Love Lucy.
So I'm just gonna play the theme song.
Why would I?
No, please. We've lost Chan's legendary stubbornness and ability to hate, despite all comprehension, is legendary.
I am so shocked.
I would like to start off with a happy moment here, and Teresa, back me up. This is an S-tier, top 10 all-time TV theme song.
Oh, my God.
Agreed.
Here we go.
A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
This is
Alan
great. Great audio.
First of all, it's one of those songs that I literally sing to myself sometimes in the middle of the night for no reason because it loops in my brain. It just pops up, and it's so cute, and it's perfectly sung. But Alan Young, was that
the
name?
That's correct. Yes.
I've already forgotten it, and it was just on the screen.
I know, same. But he's the voice of Scrooge McDuck.
Wow.
So another reason why this is a great show.
I was astounded. I'll say right now, you never know going back to old media you haven't seen in decades. I was surprised. Now, look, there's a lot of my wife jokes in here, and we're gonna.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of that.
You know,
there's gonna be a lot of that. You just have to be understandable. But I thought that there were actually jokes that landed. I thought some of the deliveries were fantastic. I thought the premise was good enough, especially for a sitcom that's like 70 some odd years old at this point. Like, I thought enough of this landed. I did laugh out loud at least two different times watching this sitcom.
Washed his clothes.
Yes.
I wrote down the gags that I thought were funny-ish, and the saddle blanket gag made the cut.
How
many sitcoms of today do you watch, and don't laugh at all? You gotta give this show some props.
Because if I don't laugh, I don't watch the fucking show.
Well, I mean, that's why you podcast, is to broaden your horizons. Time
to sit around watching something ostensibly
watched an episode of Two and a Half Men for like 19 jerk-off jokes in a row that aren't funny and didn't laugh so you could say, hey, I watched an episode of Two and a Half Men and didn't laugh once, because I did.
I do not hate watch, because the same amount of money goes to the creators of this thing to make more of this thing if you hate watch it than if you watch it out of pure joy.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen got my nickel. Okay.
That is blood money, as far as I'm concerned. You might as well have been sending money to the Israeli Defense Force.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's how I feel about
equivalent.
This. Morally.
No, Chan, I already do. I pay taxes in America.
Ooh, trenchant political commentary.
I didn't think you were getting that in the Mr. Ed episode, but here we are, mother effers.
Okay, this starts out really cute.
Yes.
Because Mr. Ed is talking to Wilbur in the barn, and he is all upset. He wants a new saddle because he got made fun of by the fillies in the park because of his clothes.
Like the Philadelphia
and Mr. Phillies? Mr. Ed has a saddle and a blanket, so that's what he's talking about. They are, I guess, schlubby looking or something.
They're a little ratty. They're not new.
Do they explore the idea of a sentient being ridden by this pasty-faced white man? Like, is he cool with it? Is he like, well, this is what I was born to do, to be a slave?
Slave? Mr. Ed is not a slave?
I think a lot of the comedy is supposed to come from the fact that he's cantankerous about his situation.
Oh, so if, say, this were set in 1850, a Virginia plantation, if the slaves were cantankerous, then it would be okay? Is that what you're saying? Is that what I'm hearing?
Okay, even bringing it up isn't funny.
Isn't it?
No, because slavery isn't funny.
He's a sentient being.
He's a horse.
He can talk.
He's a horse.
Is he paid?
He's a horse. He gets food.
He gets
a horse.
If I walked into the warehouse that I work at and they're like, here are some oats. It's in a feed bag. It's got Mr. Ed on it. You'll love it. We picked it up from Nick at Night and said, that is all we are paying you. Also, you can't leave.
Make like you wouldn't gladly eat from a feed bag.
Also, how many premises do you just accept? You don't pick apart things like this in general. You just accept, yes, it's
I've
a horse.
Been doing it for 10
what if a horse could
years?
Talk? What yeah. if a horse could talk? That's the premise. What if a horse could talk?
You're absolutely correct, but I can stand Chan saying 10 years he has, in fact, been doing this. I was there. I can vouch for it.
Okay.
I do want to play this line from the opening minute of the show. Tell me, I couldn't believe it. And okay, let me just share this here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to just play this line from the show because it made my notes. Let me just put it out there.
Gave her my personality smile, and she just laughed at me.
Maybe she goes for those tall, dark horses, huh?
She didn't like what.
Wait a minute.
What?
He says, maybe she goes for those tall, dark horses.
Yes. Yeah?
Like,
was that some sort of weird racial?
It was
No. You know how like they used to say, "Ooh, I like him tall, dark, and handsome." Okay, whatever that phrase is, right?
Okay.
Also, there's a double meaning, a third meaning, I guess, in there. A dark horse.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God, this show's even smarter than I thought. I think that's
giving them more credit than they deserve.
No, they deserve all that credit.
They did the clothes horse joke, Calder, so
yeah.
I believe they can do the dark horse joke.
They went right from clothes horse to dark horse.
The clothes horse joke was when I was like really resigned to a dark fate for the evening.
Oh no.
I thought that line was beautiful. Now,
hold on. Yes. I need you to go to 128 for me, please, because I do have something that I would like to hear. A line that I think is very representative of this entire endeavor.
Absolutely. As I get that set up, I do want to say, though.
Is it something he says to his wife?
It is. Here we go, 128. I do want to say, though, that the premise is Wilbur Post, that's the owner, his wife is taking ballet lessons to stay in shape, and that's what he has to spend his money on instead of the saddle for Mr. Ed. That is a source of plot throughout the course of this episode.
He's clearly just making up excuses. He and can afford both the saddle and the ballet lessons.
This beautiful house. Listen, they also don't have kids, so I know dude has money. He has a horse, for God's sakes.
He has a horse. A horse is expensive.
Yeah. And I think I know what you're making me play here, Chan. And okay, I have no defense for this part.
This means the ballet dancer is happy and excited.
Can we pause for a second?
You know what this means?
That I had a problem with, because it's not true. You cannot ballet. She's like, ballet. What she says, she's like, bullshit about the ballet figure. Every ballet figure has a meaning. This means happy and excited. And it's like, no, this isn't. What are you talking about? That. Ballet does not have that.
Well,
other
dances do.
Other cultural dances do. This doesn't, and that was just her bullshit.
Are you suggesting that perhaps their grasp of athletic endeavors, athletic and cultural endeavors,
no,
of all sorts, is not up to par? Perhaps
I'm just saying she pulled some bullshit, and he also pulled some bullshit.
I would argue his bullshit goes a little further, but let's go ahead and hear the rest of this bit, or I could stop it here, but then Chan would win, so I don't want that
rolling.
Has a meaning. Now, this means the ballet dancer is happy and exciting.
Ah, you know what this means? This means the husband is hungry and get lunch.
Look,
we did it.
Yeah,
we did it, folks.
We definitely dated the show. We know what time in history it occurred.
All the time.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been buying, I have a record player now, and I don't mean to brag about it, but I've been buying a lot of Fire Sign Theater comedy records, and their childhood influence, some of the best like audio comedy of the 1960s and 70s.
Where are you buying these? Are you talking like all time vinyl?
Yeah.
My God.
I'm that guy.
This is a man who crumples up $10 bills, flings them at the ice cream vendor, and is like, pick it up, nerd.
They gladly do, because it's a big bill.
It is.
So anyway, I'm saying right now, sometimes comedy is of its time. The Fire Sign Theater was considered left wing back in the 1969 through the 70s. And then you listen to a lot of their stuff, and quite a bit of it is a little uncomfortable to listen to. Some of the choices they make, especially in regards to ethnicities and racial relations, are not great, because the attitude of that era was not great, and they were the best you were going to get of that era, because that's what they were. Mr. Ed, I can't speak to it being a left-leaning show. I don't think that it is, but that was the best you were going to get out of this era. The fact that he knows his wife is about to go to a ballet class in full costume, and he does a full interpretive dance to tell her to get in the kitchen and make him a sandwich is unacceptable, obviously.
Okay, so this happened. The boss shows up.
Is that
no
boss?
Hello? No, here I am. I guess they're neighbors.
They're next door neighbors and best friends.
Okay. I was like, Jesus Christ, did I completely misread this relationship?
I thought he was the boss, but I don't remember.
I assume he was the boss because honestly, he's older.
Yeah.
And he has that energy, like that perfect boss energy.
Big boss energy.
You know?
It kind of does. Boss man, yeah.
Great trailer. Yeah, he looks just like him.
But anyways, all right. So this is where he introduces the idea that, hey, this guy I know owes me some money. So,
oh, hold on. Real
he's going to do a trade.
Trey, if you would please go to 209.
What I love about this is normally I'm the one torturing Chan like this all day. Hmm. But the difference is I've got it queued up right here and I'll have it ready in 2 seconds.
Okay. Ooh.
One, two, and here we go.
Say, how did you like Kay and Leotard's?
She looks like a plucked chicken trying to wriggle off a butcher hook.
Wow. Look, there's a lot of I hate my wife in this.
There's some real Lockhorns energy going on here. Not a fan.
I'm not going to defend any of that.
Do you have to worry about chickens like continuing to flee after you've plucked them? Isn't that usually...
I
mean, there is, like, running around like a chicken with its head cut off is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things when you're watching older stuff, especially things like comedies, you know, like trying to figure out what is normal, what they're normalizing and what they're saying for comic effect. And like something like this, you know, yeah, like do people chickens go to butchers and have chickens that are like still flailing? Is that a normal thing?
It's like back then it wouldn't have been a meat processing plant that goes to the butchers that you buy. It would be the butcher. It's like you bring the meat to the butcher, right? Or you do it yourself. Cause again, this is a lot of people had ranches at the time and there were lots of family farms.
I don't think these people have a farm.
I'm not talking about the people in the show talking, but the phrase itself would be understood because a lot of people would have grown up on a family farm or ranch or whatever. Right. So they would have, I mean, whatever. It's also just a fucking phrase that people understand. But if your question is, does that really happen? Yes, it does.
Well, this is what I'm asking is it a normal thing to experience on a Thursday at the time of this show? Or is it like sort of an image that he's created, you know, for
ask yourself that about any fucking phrase at all.
I do.
Like, that
I
don't kicks think you ass. You really kicked ass in there. So is that like a regular Thursday image you see?
That's
or is that well, what, I, you know I think, what I mean?
I know.
Like, that's when have you what, ever seen ass that?
Is a more relatable thing
You've
than
never
the chicken.
Seen it? Mm-hmm. It's a turn of phrase. You understand?
I've seen asses get kicked.
You've seen faces get punched. I don't know if you've seen an ass get kicked.
I've seen asses get kicked.
I personally have had my ass kicked.
Toddlers
many
are the
times.
Ones that do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is an accurate statement. Look, now I have some things here. We're gonna meet our professional wrestler this episode. His name is Tiger Davis. And did you know the actor who plays Tiger Davis?
I did.
I just did a little dive on him here. And he's a wrestler. Well, here's the deal. Bernard Herrmann, aka Ricky Starr, played Tiger Davis on this. He started off as a boxer before switching to being a professional ballet dancer and then made his switch over at the age of 21, professional wrestling. His gimmick was a ballet dancer who did acrobatic stuff in the ring and used the airplane spin as his finisher.
So he really just got to showcase everything he actually did.
Yeah, he just got to be himself on screen, which I always was curious about it. But no, he just is this guy in real life, and
that's
he died
awesome.
Actually only in 2014 at the age of 83.
This is very surprising to me because I had him pegged as a 100% fraud that was an actor they were trying to pass off on me.
That's what wrestling
kind of
used to look
Absolutely
like
not.
Back then.
I
looked like that.
I dug in a little too because I was curious, did they get actual wrestlers? And the other guy he was wrestling with also just an actor, was just an actor. This guy, I'm honestly a little disappointed because it would have been an interesting tale woven out of whole cloth that this wrestler then did ballet and got over that way. Like it turns out, like they just took the guy who did the thing already, was already known for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, wait a minute. So your complaint first was that it would be an actor and that sucks. Then it's he's a wrestler and how great would it be that he got over? So what is it that you're arguing that?
No. I was curious.
An actor?
I was curious if he was a wrestler or an actor. And it like basically what they did was they saw this guy who had a gimmick.
Right.
If
they made it up, it would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been a fun sitcom story. That had a turn that like, oh god, it turns out he, you know, does ballet now.
It is actually pretty fun, and I'll tell you why. Because this is his second time on Mr. Ed playing two different characters.
What?
He was an actor on an earlier episode and must have behind the scenes told them the story, or they found out who he was.
Went to a
and
show.
So they must have crafted this episode to bring him back and use the most of his talents.
That's awesome.
Really?
That must have been a hell of a time to be an actor, because every show that was on the air would cast you a dozen times as a dozen roles and they didn't give a shit.
Because you would never, there was no repeats.
Yeah.
And you couldn't zoom in and stuff.
No, hold on.
It turns out I'm totally wrong, though.
It's season 3, which is afterwards.
So they loved him so much, they brought him back as another character. Still awesome in my book.
Is he a different
They do that on Golden Girls a lot.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
We saw a wrestler at the Republic of Lucha show, one of them.
Well, I hope so. That's a wrestling show.
Yes. I don't remember the wrestler's name, but she did ballet and her opponent was Kid Bandit. But anyways, she looked really cool. It was like interesting moves, you know. So it's not surprising that it's not like the first time someone has done a ballet theme as a wrestler.
Here's the thing. I am looking at the synopsis of the other episode he's in.
Yeah.
The Bashful Clipper. Carol and Kay discover that Chuck, the character played by Ricky Starr / Bernard Herrmann, the guy that clips Ed's hair, is also a fantastic hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
So they convince Wilbur to make an investment that enables him to open his very own salon. One problem, he's too shy around women to cut their hair. So because this is 1962, the whole premise of this episode, the wrestler episode, is, yeah, but he's kind of gay, right? He's kind of effeminate and therefore less of a man.
They turn him gay, I think, is the theme
at all. We need to go through this further because you're throwing so much shit. We haven't even talked about some of this.
The second episode, though, in that context, is very much that story.
Could be, but not this one.
All I know is that in this episode, it's far more a factor that he's an eating machine than anything else.
He can't stop eating. Okay,
it's true.
The whole idea is that the boss or best friend, whatever, he's being offered a wrestler in exchange for some debt or something like this that he's owed by
someone.
Yeah,
he owes him money he can't pay.
Yeah. So they're like, hey, I'll give you this wrestler or whatever, you can be this wrestler's manager and they'll make you money. And so he talks to Wilbur about it. Wilbur's like, oh, let's see, you know, I used to be a wrestler in college, so we'll just go check it out. So they go to the gym. And
this is insane, by the way.
What, that being a wrestling manager is an investment?
You could just buy
that is insane.
Well,
they were a boxer.
They weren't buying him. It was his contract, right? Uh-huh. They were transferring the contract.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They basically owned him. He had to stay at their house.
They were his manager now. So they basically are in charge of his career now.
Manager means a very different thing in this context than it does a Paul Heyman or a Don Callis.
Yeah, because they're talking about it like it's a boxer, which boxers, maybe you can actually have prize fights, but wrestlers, it's like set up.
Well,
so
what do you
that
mean?
Was not well, clear from
not
this.
In the world of Mr. Ed.
Yeah,
sorry, Calder.
And this feels like whenever professional wrestling enters into this like context, they're like, well, we'll just present it as real. So In Mr. Ed's world, like it's exactly like boxing.
Well, that's not a problem. The problem is that like they think they could just get into the business,
which they do. I mean, they easily
get him a match right away, Chan.
Yeah.
If you tried to do that, I feel like it would be roughly the same as if you tried to do that today. If you're like, you look like a good fighter, you Kimbo Slice, I'm going to become your manager. I will get you a fight, and then you will win money, and I will take some of that money. Enough money, my half of the cut will still be enough to buy a brand new saddle, which I feel like is not an inexpensive proposition.
No, saddles are very expensive.
Yeah,
they are very, even back then.
All they got to do is just like sign him up for a fight and then just hope he wins. Like, I don't know, like Beyblade.
I don't know.
What are the things
that
little pops that go?
We're gonna push the plot a moment. You're right. Wilbur was an intercollegiate wrestling champion. So the two of them, Roger and Wilbur, go to the gym to learn about the wrestler with the classic line, "I hope this tiger doesn't turn out to be a pussycat." So they get to the gym. And they immediately set up the storyline with Tiger in that he says he wants a sandwich. And that's all he can think about. And he's not very impressive because he's so worried about food. He's getting bullied around by this other guy in sparring. And what really impressed me about this part is they did it on blue mats. They were doing full-on wrestling slams and flips and everything.
I was like, is that sawdust?
On the old-style blue mats. I never trained on the old-style blue mats. And I appreciate that because that's how it used to be for decades and it sucks. There's no give. There's nowhere for your body to go but splat.
It literally looks like it's sawdust stuffed pads. Yeah. And how fucking painful would that be?
And I'm wondering, how many takes did they need of him flipping him over his shoulder and essentially slamming him onto the blue mats? I guarantee that wasn't a one take deal in 1962.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more likely to just be a one-take deal in 1962. It's like they don't have that much film or tape or whatever.
Well, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Get in one, otherwise, that's that.
Well, the guy apparently had like 12 sandwiches or a ton of lunch earlier. So him asking for more was just incredulous. And then also they pan into the gym and we're introduced to the gym. There are all these people working out, and there's this one fucking guy on the balance bars doing the weirdest shit. And I was like, I know for a fact that does jack shit in any context you can imagine. That's not being like, that's not good for gymnastics. That's not good for like your muscles. What are you doing, dude?
Have you seen like those old gym videos? Oh, yeah. I've seen like pictures. They're lifting the weirdest shit. And they're stretching the weirdest fucking places.
Look at the guy on the bars, though. Look at him. What are you doing, dude?
What are hanging you upside doing? Down.
That's a good stop.
Pulling really himself good. Up.
That dude's
legit.
The guy on the pommel horse and the guy on the rings, those are that's legit.
Yeah.
Cirque du Soleil stuff right there. That's great.
That's,
the guy
that's
on the balance beams had issues.
No, they hired two real gymnasts. And everybody else are like,
what can you do? I'm going to scoot around on these.
Yeah, I think
just watch me.
Prior to the 80s fitness boom, I feel like there was one man ever doing effective physical fitness, and that was Charles Atlas.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I expect they went to Central Casting and they just said, you know, we need an extra who understands the parallel bars. And this guy's like, yeah, man. I got you. Yeah. Showed up on set, and the best part is they didn't know what it looked like either.
They're like,
you check. Yes, I can ride a horse on the
other. Yes, I can.
And just figuring out.
When I was in school, I wanted to be a part of a show, but that show involved a roller skating scene, and I knew that was my way into the show. And so they said, Ray, do you know how to roller skate? And I didn't really that good at all. And so it was really rollerblading. This was the 90s. And they said, Ray, can you rollerblade? And I go, absolutely. I am a great rollerblader. And I get the part. Oh. And then they put me in the show. And right before the first rehearsal, the director pulls me aside and says, hey, Ray, I know you're like an absolutely excellent top tier rollerblader. But for the purposes of this show, can you pretend like you're not good at rollerblading?
Oh, God damn it.
You're so lucky.
I said,
oh my God.
God, I got the skill set
to pull that off. I
feel like maybe he saw right through you and took pity.
He's like, I don't want to embarrass you.
Calder, she did a great job. Thank you.
Oh, 1962.
Put in my place.
Calder, Teresa, you do not know how often Gina and I have to listen to tales of Ray failing upwards. Every single week is some new kerfuffle that he fucks up and somehow ends up making more money as a direct result of it. This is just one in a long line of just infuriating stories.
This is white man syndrome.
Yeah, shout out to my brother in white male privilege, Ray.
I mean, well, here's the deal. If you can spend an entire lifetime failing upwards, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful way to live.
Well, our president certainly did, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, he kind of stole his way upwards, really, you know.
But he definitely failed.
There's a lot of failure in there, too. That is the truth.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
So the girl filled her cart in the Toys R Us store. And when that cart was filled with toys, she filled up 15 more.
Get Mattel's Feeling Fun Barbie with neat denim outfit at a great everyday low price. And Barbie's ice cream shop for Mattel is the coolest place in town. The ice cream cart lets your child make real ice cream. Another great buy at Toys R Us.
Love growing up with my Toys R Us kid.
Toys R Us. You'll never outgrow it.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Now, listen. So, I like the wrestling. There was a little bit of wrestling moves here. He's suddenly impressive, Tiger is. And so the two neighbors go halvesies on the contract. And then there's a whole thing about, well, which one of you is he going to go live with?
Because apparently the freaking guy, he lives with his manager at the gym or something. And I'm like, you kind of have to mention that, don't you? If you're like, oh, this is, here's the new financial thing I'm going to saddle you with.
I mean, this is a sitcom and they're getting rooked here, so that makes sense. Would you please put that back on real quick? You don't have to play it. I would just like a shot at 504 for everybody to take a look at the line accompanying it. And I think it should be crystal clear where I'm going with this.
Sure. Here you go.
Top or bottom? That is.
Yes, I did.
He didn't say top or a bottom. He said top or bottom.
You know what? I feel like he just slurred those two words together. Top or
you hear what you want to hear, man. I mean, you were thinking it.
Look at that
image.
You
were thinking it.
If they weren't,
you wanted to know: are you a top or a bottom? That's what you wanted to know.
This is a perfect comedic premise, though. I mean, you got two wrestlers. One is on top of the other, holding the other to the canvas by his wrists. They invested in one of them. They're not sure. They say, is our guy the guy on the top or the bottom? He goes, the guy on the bottom. And they're like, ugh. That's pretty famous comedic. Come on. Yeah. Like, that's par for the course in comedy.
It is a properly constructed joke.
What I'm thinking about is like whether people like really had like any comprehension of like gay sex mechanics so that would mean anything.
Well, that wasn't
illegal
back
known
then.
To the nation.
Yeah,
to make it like a joke. Right?
Well, no, it was not intended that way. That is how I took it. I brought my own.
Because you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all right.
It is. That's fair.
The heart wants what
He's
wants.
He's a hairdresser in the next season.
Did you see the bit where they say, you know, which one of your wives is going to agree to take this guy in? Mm-hmm. And then there's a joke about, well, there might be three of us living at the YMCA
yeah,
tonight.
Three new faces at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
I laughed.
That was pretty good.
It was good. See, you're on board. Chan loved this episode.
There we go.
I get it. Okay.
Is that your dick one?
The one time I thought, like, to go back a little bit, like, well, I guess we're actually about to come to it. Like, when they bring it to the wives, that's when, like, the one good gag, like, to me was.
Uh-huh.
So when they go back to talk to their women, their wives. Women. I wrote down the women go gaga, so
they
me
do.
Talking no, here- and reading at the same time.
Can I play this clip really quick, though, before you get to that point?
Sure.
Because when they come home, this is how I think I'm going to start presenting myself when I get home.
See. Yeah.
Every single day from work. Tell me, does this work?
Okay. Big Daddy is home.
Now, that's a Southern thing.
That's from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, right?
That's a Southern thing.
That's a baller thing. That's an alpha thing. That's what I hear.
Know what that is?
I've been on YouTube.
So they go home and they're like all pissed because the wives are like, no, we don't want some gross, disgusting, big old wrestler. Rah, rah, rah. You have to get rid of him or something. So then he rings the doorbell and they go and meet him. And then they're like,
the game goes from wrestler who eats too much to wives want to fuck the wrestler. And I'm like,
mm-hmm. And they feed him like crazy.
It wasn't obvious to me what they liked about him.
Well, no, because he comes over and he's like, are you his daughter? And then it was like, didn't I see you at the Miss Universe pageant?
Yeah.
Like, he's busting out the hardcorest flattery you possibly could. And he's a good-looking wrestler. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was okay-looking. I would say he's normal-looking.
They thought he was
going
to be big and fat and hairy and gross, but he's handsome. Would have
made him a better wrestler.
Hold on. Let's talk about Calder's jealousy here.
Yeah, Calder, what's going on here?
I feel like... You okay, bud?
There's a very attractive, fit man who can move his body in ways we can all only imagine.
Of course, they like him. Those fucking bitches.
They're not going to take your women, Calder.
I do have to reveal myself as an incel. Yeah.
Well, Calder, we'll have you on the MR Ray podcast at some point. We'll talk through all these problems.
So then they decide that Ed can live in Wilbur's barn. And then Wilbur goes in to talk to Mr. Ed, and he's like, look, if you let him stay in this barn, then when he wins a wrestling match, I will use some of the proceeds to help buy you a new saddle. So Ed's on board.
And that's really the extent of Ed's involvement here.
The best part comes up. You have to show the whole thing because he sings a cute song.
Oh, God.
I'm going to try to find it. Teresa, set us up for what we're about to watch, because this is really the one point in the episode that Mr. Ed has his moment to shine. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. He's so cute. So he's minding his own beeswax. He's in the barn and he's washing his clothes. Wait, do you need something?
11.
Oh, I've got it right here. Well, 11:19, but still.
So
he's washing his clothes like a horse does.
And his clothes consist of a saddle and his blanket, and it's so cute when you see what he calls his blanket.
Here we go.
If I gotta wear an old saddle, it's gonna be a clean one. Not too hot, not too cold. Might as well rinse out my undies, too.
And then he drops his blanket
undies in.
I like that joke. That is a good joke.
It's so cute.
That's very funny.
But then listen to his song, please.
Teresa's demanded the song.
Listen.
You
want to
hear the song? All right, hold on. Let me go back.
It's right there. Just hit play again.
Just hit play again.
No, I have to reshare it again. There we go.
Oh.
So this is the way we wash our clothes, wash our clothes, wash our clothes. This is the way we wash our clothes every Monday morning.
This is so cute.
It's a pedestrian song at best.
I love this. They cut to the bucket. And then someone with like a horse hoof at the end of a stick, just like boop, boop.
I think that was
boop.
His foot.
That was not
you guys.
His foot.
I did not think it was a horse hoof at the end of a stick until I saw it just now. This one got me the first time around.
Well, I didn't inspect it enough.
How do they get him to talk on cue? I know they use peanut butter, but like he stops talking mid scene and then just starts talking again. I didn't see anybody slipping more peanut butter.
I think they use like buzzes. I think they used to use like.
Would you like shock prods?
Like not high voltage, but enough.
The thread.
I don't know.
You support like one of those sort of thing?
One of those not. Buzzy bees that people keep in their pants and their partner
know.
Can buzz them
I don't
from
know
work?
What they did.
Yeah. What I'm talking about.
I would tend to assume abuse.
Well, it's the 60s and it's an animal, so that's probably not too far from the case. But he's adorable. Mm-hmm. Let me just say right now, Mr. Adorable. Ed is adorable.
This
and there's
the
a bit where
the
Tiger keeps eating. He's stuffed from lunch. He wants to know where dinner is. He's got a big match coming up, though, with the Apache Kid. And
what was his actual name, though?
You mean,
what
did he,
this is
hold
such,
on.
Brillstein.
Go to 1256.
Hamish.
I would love to because this bit is pure wrestling and pure delight.
Or actually,
and I have only positive things. This is the soul of professional wrestling, especially back in the 1960s. Here we go.
1252.
Hey, kid, you mean Jaime Rosenblatt?
Because that's how we represented minorities was just ethnic looking people became a completely different race. There were very few actual like Asian or Native American wrestlers. They were typically like Latinos. Or in this case, I believe that's meant to be a Jewish man playing
right.
the part because they kind of look like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be hilarious.
Yeah. And it's also, again, interesting in the context of the time.
Mm-hmm.
In some respects, they're presenting this as if everybody who is watching believes that wrestling is real. That they actually have prize fights and make money from it. But also, I think most people kind of understood that, like, it's a character, and the Apache Kid isn't actually an indigenous person, you know, who carries around a tomahawk and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Did
also,
people
we find
know
out
that
he's a grown
then?
Man.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not a kid.
That too.
He's not a kid at all.
Important point to note. But people sort of, yeah, like well, okay, it's probably a little fake, so... Even back in
I don't know, man. I don't know that people got. I don't know that wrestling audiences were that sophisticated back in 1962.
Then who's getting
people
this
were waiting outside to kill the heels outside the stadium at this point?
Who's the joke for then?
Some fans might have gotten it, but certainly not the sitcom watching public.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke for wrestlers. Let me just tell you, that's a breaking kayfabe joke at a time when kayfabe was a religious thing and you had to uphold it.
That is. Then that is not a thing that was put into a sitcom.
No, that was a joke for the smarts.
A joke for there were no dirt sheets back then. So it's
Dave Meltzer was still a thing back then. I'm pretty sure. And so okay, so we move forward. Oh, there's a great bit where Tiger slaps Mr. Red on the butt three times, and Mr. Red backs him up and knocks him into that water bucket from earlier. Perfectly done physical humor.
Yeah.
And he walks out looking as if he peed his pants.
I did like the conversation between Wilbur and Ed there, though, right before that happened, because he's all, you know, this is just going to make your saddle all whatever wet on your back. And he's like, and on your pants. You know, because
yeah. Oh, did I ruin it? Guess you got to buy me a new one, a-hole. He's great.
Yeah,
great character.
He's so cute.
I love Mr. Ed.
The wrestler has been eating so much he can't fit into his trunks or his robe.
That's really rough.
That's wild.
They've only had him for like 2 days.
And he doesn't look physically any different.
He does not.
That's quite a feat.
He is wearing a big puffy sweater, so... I feel like that is the sort of language, the visual language we're employing.
I think we have to assume that because he's not getting any bigger, he must be getting denser.
Mm.
It's possible. How about the one joke, another one that made me laugh? He's like, hey, have you seen the morning paper? Oh, don't tell me he ate it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That one got me.
I understood.
I understood
that it was a joke because of the rhythm of it and because they cut to commercial at that point. So I was like,
it was very funny.
I was supposed to laugh there.
Well, so then he needs to lose weight. So the wives are like, we know how to get you to lose weight. Best way and the fastest way.
Clearly, they're talking about sex. The three of them are just going to have wild sex for the next day and a half until the match.
That's fine.
Everyone's going to like it. They're doing ballet.
Well, wait a minute. Hold that thought for one more second because we're not quite there yet. I just want to point something out. because they make the point. He can't fit into his trunks or his robe. Meanwhile, one of the misses brings him a giant bag, sack full of donuts.
That is like a huge goddamn sack.
Yeah, maybe get to the point where you can have a conversation with your wives about this problem and how much money it's going to cost you. Maybe they could stop enabling him. They will not stop bringing him junk food. And it's outrageous. But the other thing is,
those two dudes made an investment. On top of that, that investment involved adding another adult human being to the household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty over the line. So I feel like anything the wives do here is fully justified, up to and including adultery.
I think that, from their position in this household and in society, malicious compliance is extremely fair.
I will
say. You know what? Okay.
They didn't think he was going to move in. That wasn't the original thought process in acquiring his contract. It just turned out he had nowhere else to live, and this was the whole thing. So
decided to become managers of an athlete in a sport they know nothing about.
Sure.
Well, that's not accurate at all.
Yeah, the guy was a wrestler.
Thank you. Not only is he a wrestler, Robert Clark Chan, he flips Tiger over, puts him in an arm lock, and Tiger can't get out of it. And that's how we're established that one, Wilbur is a legitimate force in wrestling, but two, Tiger is suddenly out of shape because he can't break this wrist lock.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out what they were trying to say there, because the fact that Wilbur took him out and
he's out of shape.
Right, but there's no point at which Wilbur has actually proven himself to be an athlete of any
We haven't seen him in college.
Well, but it sounds like he's sort of, because his friend has said, like, yeah, I found out about that you were an amateur champion 2 minutes after I met you, meaning he goes on and on about this. And so the assumption would be that he's bloviating and that he has no wrestling skill left whatsoever, any tone. And so for him to beat this actual wrestler was kind of weird.
A legit hold.
I was like, is Wilbur much stronger than he's been letting on?
Or is
the wrestler like actually really bad and he's going to get his ass handed to him?
See, I thought what they were going to do, not having seen this episode before, I thought they were going to have Wilbur be the wrestler instead.
Oh, wow.
Because the wrestler was like suddenly unable to do so.
There's nothing in the rule book that says a horse can't wrestle.
Thank you, Wilbur.
Not Ed.
What?
Yeah. You guys understand, though, that Wilbur Post, with this armbar and submission hold that he puts on him, he was actually, and a lot of people don't know this, he was the inspiration for the human suplex machine Taz's gimmick. He was based on Wilbur Post from this episode of Mr. Ed. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that.
It's like a Jujutsu Katami. Although it also looks surprisingly like that picture that we showed earlier of the top
and
bottom.
Don't worry about that. Well, here's the deal. He's taking ballet.
So they decide they have to get him fit because he's got to work out. He's not toned, whatever, not strong anymore, whatever.
He looks fine.
But they have him do ballet, and he's a better dancer than a wrestler so far.
Well, I mean, he's a good wrestler, and it turns out a very good dancer.
Yeah.
It turns out he's very good at both.
Yeah.
If I can be honest with you. We'll talk about the match in a second. They make a big deal about their investment really quick. They didn't really invest anything.
Truly. Yeah,
they didn't pay anything. They kind of got him for free.
Except for they fed him a bunch of fucking food, and that was expensive.
Yeah. Well, those donuts.
I wrote down, lol, women ruin everything, wah, wah, because that's the joke here.
That's what I was saying, and you're like, how dare you?
Dude, if you think that this is novel in any fucking way from the 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s or 2000s or 2010s or 20s, this is a common theme in many, many things. So it's not surprising.
Women,
and I don't get offended because I know it's old. If it came out today, I'd be fucking pissed off.
No, you can't release this type of comedy today.
No.
You only could do it in the context of like a Kevin can go F himself. sitcom where it's like played on its ear for being so ridiculously over the top that you have to murder the people involved.
Or you could be Kill Tony. Yeah, who's to say?
You can what?
Nothing.
Today, if you wanted to do comedy like this, you'd have to add jokes.
No, you don't.
There were so many good jokes, Calder. How dare you? To be fair, though, this attitude also inspired, but you guys don't know about this, this episode and some of the attitudes towards women inspired the Andrew Tate Show. So,
interesting.
This episode specifically.
There just is. This one. Yes, that's right.
The only one in existence.
I assume he wrote a book.
I honestly can't tell how much of this is gay panic because, like, having him wear a leotard and do ballet is emasculating, but also I'm not sure how much of it is he is no longer a man as a result of this.
Well, I will say, as someone who did do ballet for many years, men do wear leotards.
Yeah. No, sure. No. But in 1962, on a sitcom, the joke is that he is doing women's stuff.
Yes.
The joke is they need him to be as masculine as possible to win a wrestling match, but they're turning that trope on its head by having him do traditionally female activities, ballet, and it turns out it's the best thing for his career in two different ways.
And it's also extremely physical, especially some of the jumps. I forget the names of everything. I don't have a brain anymore, okay? I am convinced that Robert... fucking Kennedy Jr.'s brain worm somehow got into my brain.
Pretty sure that
I don't remember anything.
That was going to be
many holes. Many holes.
Just shunted
off. But anyways.
Man. It's time. Yes.
I guess I question like how physically rigorous the ballet these wives seem to know is. And
well,
whether
what they know isn't very rigorous, but what he knows and what he does actually is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
He's a physical specimen, and they are portrayed as standard housewives. They're not in shape, but they're not athletes, right?
Right.
And he does this crazy thing over the couch and this amazing, like, huge air jump. And it's like, this guy's clearly legit as an athlete.
And he does that thing where you jump and your legs switch, your feet switch position over and over, like back, behind, front, back, front, back, front, back. That's
classic ballet.
Hard to do, and it takes a lot of strength, agility, timing,
moral character,
all that stuff.
Moral fiber. Well, it's time for the match, everybody. And for I don't understand why they're watching it at home. They're the manager. Shouldn't they be at the arena? I know we need Ed there.
Well, I think it's like cheaper to film a TV than an arena.
True.
No, you're right. I mean, I understand. You're right. Mr. Ed needs to watch it. It needs somebody to play off of.
But also, so the guys had said to the wives, however, when they found out he had been doing ballet, they're like, well, you are now in charge of whatever this is. So basically, like, this monster you've created, this Frankenstein, is now yours, so you do with him what you will, because they were all excited. They went to the wrestling match with the wrestler.
Oh, maybe.
Is you ladies are just becoming the proud owners of whatever it is.
Yes.
Do not care for that.
Yeah, I think the intention was he's about to go get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And it's because of you taking over the training instead of what we wanted. This is on you. That's how I read into it.
Yeah, that is exactly it.
I think it's weird that,
This is a Ray and Teresa versus you nerds podcast.
I think it's weird that the men folk didn't have any issue with their wives going unaccompanied to the grimy world of pro wrestling at the arena.
Calder, they don't have credit cards. What are they going to do?
Fair enough.
So, yes, then it turns out, as they're one, now they don't think that Ed will get a new saddle. He won't win. But he's dancing in the ring.
Ed is skeptical.
He's doing all this weird stuff at first. It's like, looks like he's a coward, you know, with some of the
moves he's
doing.
He's trying to avoid contact. He's covering his face. Yeah.
This is a very
I just wrote here, he's doing ballet prancing around the ring, and I just wrote, this is very funny. This is very, very funny.
Because this is what you expect to be the result, right? The whole like, mm-hmm. oh no, it's ballet now kind of fear. And they're like, oh, our worst fears have come true. But then it turns out it's made him an even better wrestler and he can do all this crazy stuff that he wouldn't presumably have been able to do before.
Yes.
And he wins.
Which was his gimmick in actual professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Right. And look, Apache Kid gets over on him early. And I just wrote here, it is funny how similar the wrestling style is to a modern. Now, I understand this is 1962 wrestling. You guys are wrestling historians. Y'all have seen yes. older matches before, I assume. But the cool thing about it to me is they do the same lockup. They did some of the same chain wrestling that's done in the year 2025. I just absolutely loved how, like, it translates mm-hmm. to what we're doing today. In fact, there's a point where Tiger is it like on his back legs, like that cut scene from the Alien movie. And he's like scooting like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter towards Apache. And Apache Kid has to leave the ring. He doesn't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, they're putting actual wrestling psychology in this Mr. Ed match. This is awesome.
It's pretty great.
It's tolerable.
Yeah, I think like what frustrates me is how much this is a dynamic of like the wives influencing the wrestler and not Mr. Ed influencing the wrestler. Like,
yeah, well,
what I get mad about is that this entire episode doesn't like it feels like they should have had Mr. Ed be a trainer, Mr. Ed be anything. But Mr. Ed is like a non-entity in the episode. So look, like, I'm yeah. mad that he's not wrestling like a horse.
Mr. Yeah. Belvedere cannot be the center of every episode of Mr. Belvedere. Sometimes you got to go to the rest of the ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm. Look, I would say right now, yes, I think this is IMDb critics of this episode complain that Mr. Ed is not in it enough.
Yeah.
He is like the C story what? Of this episode and he's only in like three scenes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that particular critique, but keep it real. This premise and plot and character are so strong, you don't need a talking horse to sell it.
Rarity. Yeah.
And, you know, he wins.
He beats him with technical skill. And I wrote here in all capitals, yo, this is good. Many exclamation points. I enjoyed because they stay on this match a lot longer than most TV shows that have a wrestling match in it do. Usually you get about 20 seconds and two moves and a pin. This showed what seemed to be,
like
generally
high.
Speaking, an entire match for the most part.
It was like the whole third act of the episode.
Yeah. And I loved it. Tiger Davis wins with an acrobatic jump followed by a drop kick.
Yeah.
Obviously, a drop kick wouldn't win a match in 2025.
You'd be surprised.
I believed it. I enjoyed this wrestling match as an actual wrestling match, not even as a sitcom wrestling match. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. What's funny is then at the end, like, they're like, oh, you know, the wives are like, oh, he's got this great contract. You know, like he's got hired somewhere. And they're like, wait a minute, who's so-and-so? And I guess it was like for a dance company. So funny again, you know, their investment still isn't going to do what they thought. But
well, I didn't understand this at all because I was like, he has a contract. Like he can't do this other contract.
I don't know how they phrased it. If it was that they used the word contract or not, I don't remember.
Well, they owned his rights as a wrestler, and he was getting paid in 1962 $1,000 a week for a 2-year deal to go do ballet.
Yeah.
You're just not wrestling at that point.
That's pretty good money.
No.
$1,000.
That's really good money today.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Fuck. I'd do that.
I was certainly wondering about like what the financial picture of pro wrestling was at that time, because like certainly they imply that there's a lot of money in it. Like they're excited because there's so much money in wrestling.
Yeah, they did imply that.
This is like the 4 million peso match, or the $400,000 matches. Like the images of lots of money. The reality is these dudes are like going up and down the Eastern Seaboard making doodly squat.
That's what I would assume.
Well, to be fair, I thought this wrestling match was so good. It was better than 8 out of the 9 matches I saw on AEW Revolution's pay-per-view 2024.
Stand it. I cannot stand it.
I'm just saying there was a good match on there. This would rank 2, and then a couple, then Sting's last match, and then a few more. There was some bad stuff on that card.
This guy thinks he's MJF trying to get that cheap heat.
I see. Yeah, he wants to get us upset. Okay. Now I get it. But I will say, if you guys want to see, caller, if you want to see Mr. Ed more, I would ask you to watch more because I think he's so cute. You might like
to do a watch along of Mr. Ed for the AE Double Back Patreon. Let's do it.
I'm 42 years old, and I don't know if I have 42 more coming. So
look, let me tell you this: watching Mr. Ed will probably make you feel a lot better. Also, watching Wind in the Willows, the claymation series. Watch it.
Well, and I think I will join you if you want to recommend the comedy classic Dumb and Dumber.
There you go.
That's a great movie. To be fair, Calder, if you don't think you have 42 years left, you should be stuffing Mr. Ed in your face right now. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Keep the doctor away with a Mr. Ed a day.
Thank you. Everybody knows if you watch Mr. Ed every day, you will not have to see a doctor because you'll be watching Mr. Ed.
Oh, that's what our new health advisor, Robert Kennedy Jr., has said.
That's right. That is an official policy from the White House now. Yes, that is true. Because you can afford to watch Mr. Ed on Daily Motion. You can't afford a doctor.
No.
So take what you can get.
Laughter heals.
So the last line of the episode, the world may have lost a tiger, but it gained us.
Pretty good.
Beautiful.
I love
it. That's a great ending line.
Even Chan would pull the lights on that.
Yeah. That's a theatrical end.
If I had access to the stop button on this recording, I absolutely would.
Well, we're not getting out of here. The episode might be over, but AE Double Back lives forever. Can y'all pitch the show for people who have maybe never heard it before, except the context of this show, because this is basically an AE Double. But the point I'm trying to make here is that where can people find the show? How can they listen? Where can they track all of you on social media for stalking purposes mainly? Not you, Chan. You're off of all social media.
Find AE. That's why you don't get invited. Wherever you get your podcast, because we don't have a web page. I don't know where we are.
We still have an X.
You can get us on Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify, I believe Apple Podcasts, just wherever you get podcasts. Wherever you don't have to pay. I'll just say that, because we don't pay, right? Right?
No. Yeah. We don't pay.
There. It's out there.
So do you have links to like your YouTube channel, your Twitch, your Patreon?
Oh, we do have a YouTube channel.
Links for all those things that you guys share?
We have an interview with...
Oh my God.
What's his face?
YouTube channel.
Yeah, we do.
What is his name?
Josh Barnett.
There. I forgot it. Yeah.
And Bloodsport. Guys, I'm sold. Where do we find it?
YouTube.
Yeah.
AE Double Back.
Find us on YouTube
again. Also, AE Double Back on whatever. You can also email AEDoubleBack@gmail.com and ask us questions. If you like AEW, or if you haven't heard of that wrestling promotion before, it's excellent. It's Wednesdays.
Now, I haven't had a root beer in a really long time. Would I enjoy this?
Yes. My favorite things about AEW is that the wrestling style is very different from WWE. The style of the wrestling is different, and it's exciting and interesting. You get people from different promotions from all over the world that make appearances there, or maybe sometimes even get signed. Maybe they just have a limited run, but that's interesting. You get to see dream matches you wouldn't normally get to see otherwise because of the rules between different companies. So it's like a fun, exciting place. I love the women wrestlers. The women's roster isn't as strong as other companies, but it's still a young company. But I'll say right now, there are women that are changing the fucking game at that company. And it's very exciting to watch. I think there's everything that you love about wrestling, the drama, the comedy, the story, the there's so much that you love. And then the diversity is there. The, you know, that's a big thing too. It's not a shithole company run by a shithole person. So I don't know.
To be fair, it's shithole people. There's a lot of shitholes running WWE. So,
I want to say appropriate to the context of this podcast episode, AEW has featured horses before.
That's right. That's right.
So wait, so the Khan family no longer owns it, or
what?
The Khan family no longer owns
it. No, they do.
Do you have some sort of beef against the Jacksonville Jaguars or something?
I see. You think they're assholes, right? You think they're shitholes?
I just remember Tony Khan's kid in the draft room for the Jacksonville Jaguars wearing a giant puffy pretend neck brace to sell his AEW angle from the night before.
That was Tony
laughing at the absurdity.
No, that's Shahid really great, though.
Like, Tony Khan is Shahid Khan's son. At least he didn't
have his own character where he came in and wrestled, like, many, many times.
Also, you were over the moon about kayfabe being kept in Mr. Ed, and now all of a sudden, Men's puts on a neck brace. You're like, how dare you? Don't you know that wrestling is fake?
In the year 2023, it's absurd to do.
No, it was not.
I don't think anything is absurd to do in, like, when, like, in the entertainmentification of like pro drafts. I think anything is fair game.
There you go. Thank you, Calder.
I mean, you know what? I take it all back. I take it all double back.
Hey,
how about that?
Hey, I just want to go out
on the craziest thing. And look, I'm going to tell this because I don't think we've ever shared this story. I went with some of the AE double back crew downtown Los Angeles to watch a 4-hour AEW pay-per-view.
That was a short one.
Not knowing exactly like much about the storylines. I knew some of the performers, sure. My guy Jungle Boy was on there. And the idea was I was going to come on the AE Double Back podcast and talk about this pay-per-view. That's why I spent an entire evening out with the team watching the pay-per-view in a movie screen.
No.
What happened with that, Chan? Why did I never appear on the show? What is happening? I gotta have you guys on this show just to make this dream come alive.
I don't think we want to air dirty laundry on a podcast like this, but you didn't pass the background check.
Ooh.
It's not the first time.
I wasn't there, so I can't say.
No, that was a real disappointment, was that we did miss out on Teresa for that.
You guys could have been done an episode that was all dicks and balls. The magic balls.
Who wants to listen to that?
I don't know, but an audience, I'm sure. They're like, finally, that somewhere. Woman, that grating voice is gone.
So I'm saying, when do I get the official invite to come on the AE Double Back podcast to talk about this pay-per-view from like 2 years ago?
I feel like we're kind of booked.
That's what I hear.
Back a little bit.
I remember the beginning of this episode. You mentioned that everyone involved in that show has an open schedule. So don't you even try to me. I got the memory of an elephant over here.
That's funny.
Oh,
that's
boy.
True. You did say that.
Hit stop on the recording here, and it's not working.
Oh, wait. I have the power here. You know what? And you want to know how I'm in control of this? Because this happened. Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
We need these buttons.
I need a goddamn morning zoo crew.
We need these buttons.
I'm a big fan of Riverside for exactly that reason. And anyway, check out AE Double Back. Thank you so much, Calder, Teresa, Chan, coming on the show. At the end of the day, what is your last opinion of this episode of Mr. Ed? Is this a show you would watch more, starting with Calder Holbrook?
This is a big thumbs down for me.
Disappointing. Chan, Chan's giving the middle finger to the camera.
That could be his peen.
Oh, yeah.
He's got
both his peens.
He's got two.
Teresa, what's your final word about Mr. Ed?
I love Mr. Ed. He's so cute, and it's funny, and it's calming, and it's just plain fun.
I agree completely. Well-written comedy Granted, again, some of the themes don't hold up in the year 2025, but the jokes are there, the bits are there, and this wrestling match was legit fire. Probably the best wrestling match I've seen this year.
And he's the cutest horse in the world.
I want to pet him.
Yeah. You know he lived a long time, too.
He lived to be 33 years old.
Which is old. Like, horses live to be about 30. So he beat the average.
I hope he banged a lot.
Maybe.
You were about to say that he lived to be as old as Jesus. I want to know if Mr. Ed got crucified.
I don't know.
I think that's hard to do with a horse.
No, definitely. I mean, here's the deal. To be fair, Chan, you're not too far from the truth. What happened was...
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed. People yakety-yak the streak and waste your time a day. But Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And this one will talk to his voice, his horse. You never heard of a talking horse? Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.